This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Tommy Curran, WEEI Afternoons. Yesterday, if you missed any of that, it's on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can catch WEEI Afternoons today at 2 o'clock. Hart and Fitzy today, as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, Jordan Schultz had information on the visit yesterday by Steph Diggs. He said the Patriots' visit with wide receiver Steph Diggs ended, and while there's no deal in place as of now, both sides intend to remain in contact. As it was described to me, this was more of a get-to-know-you meeting.
Yeah, brand-new guy of the league, Steph Diggs.
Where you're at medically type of meeting. So it doesn't sound like
that makes sense.
They didn't even talk numbers, it doesn't sound like.
No.
Yeah.
No contract. I don't think there was a contract offer.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
when I say talk numbers, like I don't even think they got close to that. It doesn't sound like.
Yeah, so what are you thinking? You want to play this year? He's like, yeah.
Okay.
Right, that's cool. How's the knee? It's all right. Good.
What are you ordering?
Good. Yeah, keep, what do you want for lunch? And then, like, we'll head out. And now your name can be out there that you had a meeting. And, you know, I don't think it really helps the Patriots as much as they might think that it does, because they were so counter to bringing in somebody that might not be a great culture fit. And then you wait around, you realize you essentially get shut out at that position. I understand they got Mac Hollins, but as far as, like, top-end guys, you get shut out. And then now, one of the best remaining free agents – who has a couple of red flags, I guess, around him. I would certainly take him. I'm just saying, like, from Patriots' perspective, they're looking at it as older guy coming off an ACL injury and has had some issues with some teammates and teams in the past.
Yeah.
So, but now you're going to bring him in? But then what if you don't even offer him anything? I said, what are you doing?
I've read a couple of different places that he was a good teammate in Houston. Phil had that. Reese had that.
Nick said Stroud was complimentary of him right after, like, this season.
Stroud,
or whatever.
Okay. before the season and during the season.
I get what people are saying. And people, I'm not denying that people told that to Reese and told that to Phil, and CJ Stroud said it. Why don't they want him back? Maybe he's such a good teammate and he was productive there last year.
So they traded for Christian Kirk, right? And then what, they got Nico Collins and Tank Dell?
Yeah. Dell's hurt. And they traded for Kirk. Why trade for Kirk? Yeah, why trade for Kirk?
Sticks.
Okay, but so it might not be the teammate, but one way or the other, Houston can say they were super happy with him all they want.
Yeah.
They're not bringing him back.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, like, to me, I wonder what went on there. I know what people are saying.
Like, they're making wholesale changes down there, though.
That's true. They moved Tunsil. That's a good point. Maybe there's more going on.
But that's
than just
also
that.
Like the Rams are moving on from Cooper Kupp, which I admit is probably a little bit of a red flag, but I would have taken him.
Okay, but Cooper Kupp, it's the first time he's moving. Like, there's a pattern with Diggs.
Yeah, but it's also a team that specifically swapped him out for another receiver.
True.
So it's like, all right, that doesn't look great for him. But
doesn't.
Like, I would take him.
True.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, he was a good teammate in Houston. And he'll be back sooner than we think. So why didn't Houston want him? Like, let me know on that.
Yeah, I don't know. But I also feel like there, all of a sudden, and part of it was our conversation with Curran on Tuesday, but there became a big thing that Drake May specifically wouldn't be able to deal with a receiver who wants the ball. Which I found odd, because last year, a bunch of scrub receivers were all talking trash. And Drake May, I think, did just fine. He did as well as he probably could have.
Yeah.
And so I think he would love the opportunity to have a receiver who wants the ball, who actually is good and is worthy of getting the ball. So, I don't know. I would assume Drake May would absolutely want the best players around him possible and then figure out all that other stuff after the fact.
I mean, I would hope if Drake May's the one saying, I don't want that, that would be problematic. If they're saying they don't think Drake can handle that, I don't love that either. That's not what I think, though. I just think, well, number one, just visiting with Steph Diggs tells me that they're okay with bringing in the a-hole receiver.
Unless it's all a show.
They don't want to pay it. And so,
well, yeah, value. I agree with that part. I think it is more of a value thing, or is it just a show? Like, if they don't sign him, like, maybe they still are sticking to their guns on the culture thing.
Right, but again, but if you really believed in the culture thing, you wouldn't even meet with the guy, is my point.
Okay.
And Andy made that point yesterday, and we crossed over. I think it's a good point. But yeah, I just wonder if Vrabel and McDaniels don't want to deal with that. Like, if they're like, we don't need a receiver yelling about demanding play call. We just want to call plays, and Josh McDaniels just wants to call plays.
See, I don't think it's that. So,
how many a-hole receivers has he dealt with? I mean, Moss for sure.
So McDaniels brought in Moss. Well, he didn't bring him in, but Devontae, he went out and got him and traded a first and a second round pick for Devontae Adams when he was there. Now, he did get rid of Brandon Marshall in Denver, but that was forever ago.
Good one.
But Moss and Adams, trying to think who else. And then I don't think he's an a-hole. I think there's probably like a handful of guys that are really a-holes.
When I say that, you know what I mean? Like guys who are demanding targets and, you know, demonstrative about wanting the football. That's what I mean.
We still go back to Mike Vrabel loving A.J. Brown and was pissed that they traded him. So I think Vrabel and McDaniels would be more open to it. So I don't know if it is just a cost thing and they're like, hey, we already spent a lot of money in free agency, so we're not going to spend any more than that. And you guys missed out on Godwin, who by all accounts is like a choir boy and wouldn't be a problem. But you tried that, didn't get him, so then we loaded up on defense. So that's just kind of what it is. So we'll take him if he comes in for $4 million, but we're not going to pay too much for him.
Yeah, and again, maybe on some level that does speak to Vrabel and what he wants to deal with. Like I think he's more open to, you said it, I think, the right way earlier. Vrabel puts more value on a number one receiver than Bill did, for
yes.
sure.
Yeah, and Bill is probably towards the bottom. Like, as far as value of a quarterback and a receiver, he's towards the bottom.
Yeah, he hates them both.
Yeah.
So I think Vrabel puts more emphasis on that and believes in it more. But if he was given a budget for free agency, which is probably my guess as to how it went down, Kraft's like, we're going to spend X. Here's your money.
Mm-hmm.
Now go figure out how to use it. Vrabel used it all on defense. Now, he did make an offer to Godwin. And maybe they would have made one to T. Higgins if he shook free. They met with Steph Diggs. I don't even think they talked contract, doesn't sound like. But it seems like Vrabel prioritizes a lot of other things than that receiver based on how he's spent this offseason.
Well, and they had...
With the money he was allowed to spend from Kraft. Yeah.
Yeah, they had an overwhelming number of needs. I would say receiver and left tackle were at the top. And they kind of skipped those two for some of the other ones, I think based on what personnel was available in free agency. So if there were like three or four Chris Godwins in free agency, maybe it's a little bit different story, but they went all in on him. And same with Ronnie Stanley. Like, he was the one left tackle that you really would have felt great about. The other ones, I feel like you would have had to talk yourself into. And so instead of that, it was, well, we'll beef up the defensive line. We'll beef up the corner. We'll beef up linebacker. And we'll just sort of do that.
Somebody texted, stop making excuses for the pay. I don't think we're making excuses. I don't like this answer from the Patriots. I don't like that they don't want a receiver who wants the ball. I don't think we're making excuses for them. I don't like this.
And yeah, no, I don't.
I don't think DK. They claimed, and I forget who wrote this initially. I have to double check myself. Was it Phil? Was it the Herald with Callahan and Kite? I don't recall. But somebody started putting out there that DK Metcalf might be a problem, and it's like
based on what?
I don't know when he's ever been a problem.
Yeah, I don't know.
But let's say he is. I still want him. I'd want George Pickens, for God's sakes. I'm not completely turning my nose up at Deontay Johnson, Keith.
Well, that's where maybe I draw the line.
So,
he was just on a lot of teams last year.
But I'm saying that would not bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really think deep down it bothers them. I just think it's justification for them missing out on all these receivers. I think they're trying to justify it by saying, actually, it was our plan. Guys weren't saying no. Or we didn't fail to pony up enough money.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the issue. The issue is we actually didn't want the receiver who demands the football. I think they're the ones making excuses.
We heard all different excuses. It was, this guy doesn't fit the offense. This guy's coming off an injury. This guy wouldn't fit the culture.
You know, Debo's fat.
It's like, all right, you got nobody then. So you ended up with nobody? Like,
right.
So you brought
Steph Diggs in with his busted up leg to a free lunch. That's what you did?
There's no perfect player available. Like, it's free agency. The team didn't re-sign those guys to massive deals a year earlier or whatever for a reason. So there's always going to be some sort of flaw in the player that is available at this time of year. And so sometimes you have to kind of hold your nose and just overpay a little bit. But it seems like they're not willing to do that and at that position. And so right now, like, the fear is you go into this season, year two of Drake May, with a receiver room that is the same as a year ago. Like, that is, you're not doing Drake May any favors.
I mean, you have to imagine there's a rookie in that room, but right outside of that.
Yeah. All right. So swap out one rookie for like Javon Baker.
Right.
Like, if somebody has to get cut, if you're, you know, and then, okay, great.
Yeah. Can that kid play? We're going to find out. So maybe the solution is solved in Phil Perry's mock draft, which actually I didn't realize this until we were talking it out earlier, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Was your draft plan months ago? Travis Hunter at 4 and Bess Haas available at 24.
I kind of love it.
So he has them moving up back into the first round. We talked a lot about Travis Hunter at 4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the if you really believe in him as a receiver, well, then fine. I don't love the idea that the Patriots would draft him at 4 and move him to receiver. I say move him. I mean, he played there. But have him primarily focus at receiver because of need. Like, I would play him on both sides of the ball, A. But, B, I wouldn't jam him on one side of the football just because we have a gaping need there. I would have brought in receivers.
Yeah.
But I'm more interested in the second piece to this. Trading back up to 24. Is it worth moving from 38 to 24 if you also have to add in the 77th pick, which is the pick you got for Matt Judon? Is that a good trade?
So I would do that. I'm not wild about trading a lot of draft picks just for like one higher draft pick. But in this case, you're only forfeiting one total pick, which you already have 2 third rounders. And moving up into the first round, if you walk away with, like we said, Travis Hunter and Bess Haas available, then yeah, I like that. And then you still have a third round pick in there. But you might be able to get 2 starters after the night one of the draft. Yeah, that I would do.
Right. So would you rather have 4 and 24 and then just one pick in the third round? Or would you rather have 4, 24, 38, 77? I'm sorry, 4, 38, 77, and an additional third rounder. It's probably worth moving up from 38 to 24, throw in the Judon pick, which in some ways is a free pick, an actual good move by Elliott Wolf. It's one of the few, maybe the only good move out of Elliott Wolf. That's probably worth doing. And then you can get Bess Haas available at 24, which in this case is Josh Connerly in his mock draft, whoever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, people like the what's the tackle's name at Minnesota? People like him. So there's other guys you could get in that range. I think, and what I don't love about it is now you're drafting for need, but how else are you getting a tackle? How else are you getting a wide receiver? Yeah, you're probably reaching and overpaying in terms of capital because you didn't spend money in free agency, but okay, you leave with a wide receiver potentially. And you leave with a left tackle, potentially. That'd be a pretty good night one.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Oh, real quick, we've addressed this before, but a text came in. The elite wide receiver is the most overrated player in sports. And then he says, name the top 15 wide receivers the last 10 years. How many of them have rings? So that, I think, if you haven't watched football in the last like 10 years, you might be onto something, but that has changed. So Cooper Kupp, my guy, had the best wide receiver season of all time. Not only won the Super Bowl, he was the Super Bowl MVP.
I've heard this.
Tyreek Hill, top 10. He says top 15 receivers. So Tyreek Hill, Super Bowl. Mike Evans, Super Bowl. A.J. Brown, Super Bowl. Obviously Cooper Kupp, Super Bowl. So a lot of people consider Travis Kelce even more of a receiver than a tight end.
Yeah,
a bunch of Super Bowls.
This is a good way to mousetrap Patriots fans.
Yeah.
Right, you guys say that Travis Kelce is not a tight end. He's a wide receiver.
Uh-huh.
So if that's the case.
The year the Bengals made the Super Bowl, was that Jamar Chase's rookie year?
Sure was.
Well, so he did specifically say who has rings in this text.
Who
so
has
Chase,
rings?
Chase didn't
way,
win, but they were.
Or Jamar Chase would have walked away with a ring.
Right.
I do think getting there is something, but yeah, I would say it's actually become very important, and it's probably the second most important position in football.
Yeah, so that's an outdated narrative. Agreed.
Yeah.
You know, some narratives tend to still hold value. Like, I think.
And then the one thing that people throw in your face is like, well, like Tom Brady did. It's like, okay, so Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So if you have Tom Brady. Got it.
Yeah.
Get the greatest quarterback of all time.
All you got to do
maybe
is
the
get
greatest
the
head coach of all time.
Greatest quarterback of all time. Right. But no, like some narratives I thought would become outdated, they tend to hold true. Like, and even if I'm falling for it again, I'd take Genty at 4, for God's sakes. But, you know, running backs are interchangeable. That's one that really hasn't died. You know, like even with Saquon Barkley having a big year, and I like running backs more than most.
No, I know.
But I'd even acknowledge there's some truth to that. The wide receiver one is a completely outdated view, because plenty of them have rings, to answer you, Texter. Rich is in Amherst. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wonder if, in the same way at a combine, they like to interview a guy as well as watch him perform on the field. They've heard all about Steph Diggs, but they wanted to see him up close. And I mean, I know I was around somebody that did a lot of hiring at one point, and
Rich,
he wanted to have his own feel of the guy, his own intuition about
the guy. Rich, I get that. So you meet with him, and then at the end of the meeting, if it went well, don't you sign him? Like, why do you let him leave without a contract?
No, I think you say if he doesn't seem problematic, you say, well, you know, you still got to consider his knee, you know, but you're saying, well, in that area, I think we can think okay. This guy's okay, but it's just part okay. of the information you gather.
All due respect to your friend who does all the hiring. I mean, in the NFL, the way it usually works, you meet with him because you probably don't want to sign somebody you never even talked to.
Did they meet Milton Williams and then let him go? And then 2 weeks later, they're like, hey, Milton, we want to sign you.
So it's not to say that never happens. Guys do take different visits. They leave. They can always circle back. But I would say in general, as a rule of thumb, in the NFL, not very specific to what the Patriots are doing, not other lines of work and hirings, usually the guy visits and they sign. Once they leave, probably not coming back. You brought up DeAndre Hopkins the other day. It's a good example.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins visited.
He left.
We were all very excited about it.
Yeah, we were.
He left.
Even Matt Judon was excited. He was recruiting him firsthand.
Wound up signing in Tennessee.
Sure did.
617-779-7937.
With Vrabel and had a 1,000-yard season.
Did he get to 1,000 yards?
Yeah.
How about that? Probably should have signed him. Anyways, we'll get back to your phone calls. WEEI Afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock, so you'll hear them then. We'll get to our clip du jour coming up. You can still vote in the Jones and Keith bracket. I believe all four matchups are up today in the first half of the Sweet 16. They are. Hockey Region Whalers versus Team USA is up now and available. We'll get you the second half of the Sweet 16 on Monday, but we already are into round three in our bracket. That's round two. In some other brackets. 617-779-7937. Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
Because, baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be bad love. So take a look what you've done. Because, baby, now we got
a grab bag over here.
I can't take it back. Look where I'm at.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Grab Bag! It's time!
It's time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keith, WEEI. And we start with the Boston Red Sox today, Jones, as today's spring lineup, Christian Campbell back in there at second base with the rest of the regulars.
So, batting eighth?
Let me
lineup is out. Lineup is out.
Thank you, Evan. Yeah, no, it must be. That's what they've been doing.
That is, yeah.
I think there's a clear indication of what they're going to do.
Yep. Duran, Devers, Bregman, Casa, Story, Wong, Abreu, Campbell, Rafaela.
Oh, okay, wait, so they did.
I think Abreu and Wong may have switched, but whatever.
Is it a righty-lefty thing? Like, maybe there's some of that going on. Actually, where was Story and Casa? Say that again?
Casa's back in cleanup.
He's back in cleanup.
Devers is back in there.
Oh, right.
So they go lefty-lefty-righty-lefty-righty.
But, okay. If you had to guess, based on the last few lineups, Keith, we've seen Hamilton in there, we've seen Meyer in there, we've now seen Campbell in there a couple of times. If you had to guess, who's the opening day second baseman?
Campbell. Which is great.
That's not what Bradfoe told us.
No, it's not.
Bradfoe told us Hamilton.
All due respect to David Hamilton and fans of David Hamilton and his family, I would rather one of the two young guys. I'm ready to see the young guys.
Sure, he's a nice guy.
Sure, he's a great guy.
Might be the greatest guy.
But he's also
don't want you anywhere near my lineup.
He's also a good kind of bench guy. Like, you can pinch run, you can play a few different infield spots. So
yeah, he's a useful player off the bench. You don't want him starting every day.
But I love the idea, and even though Meyer has been better hitting in spring than Campbell, if Campbell is your long-term second baseman, he's a guy who's flown up the prospect rankings, if he starts opening day at second base, that's also a great sign because you're not doing the stupid service time manipulation and like, let's hold him back for a month and then bring him up. If you start in the season, that's great. Like, that's probably as good of a lineup as you can probably have. You know, I mean, we'll see what they end up doing long term with Yoshida, who's kind of squeezed out of a spot. But the upside on Campbell, like, I'm excited about that.
You asked about Yoshida yesterday. With
I did.
What could you still see? I mean, I know the season starts in less than a week. I could still see them trading him tomorrow. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not on the opening day roster.
Yeah, if they can find a taker, and it's also probably going to be how much money are you willing to eat on that?
They should eat it.
They probably have to eat it.
Eat the whole thing. like, and just, you know. I know it didn't work with Chris Sale.
No.
For Vaughn Grissom.
He did win the NL Cy Young Award.
And Vaughn Grissom stinks. But, I don't miss Chris Sale at all. Like, I really genuinely don't. The problem is you got Vaughn Grissom back. I'd use that same logic and just actually, you know, try to get it right this time. But I would use that same logic on trading Yoshida.
But if you're going to pay for him to play for somebody else, can you just pay for him to be a pinch hitter?
I mean,
and then like
you could, but.
And then, like, if Devers gets hurt or if somebody gets hurt, like, you have that bat can go in the lineup somewhere.
Yeah, but could you get a reliever for Yoshida?
Yeah,
could
maybe,
you get something more useful for the roster? Like, if it's just a prospect,
it's very
get what
odd with him because they're like, yeah, he's probably going to start the year on the IL because, like, he can't throw the ball. And then it's like he was in the lineup yesterday. I'm like, well, he's only a DH anyway. So what is it?
I don't.
But that's just a roster thing. I don't think they want to start the year with him because they're like, they probably are pigeonholed to him like only being a pinch hitter. That's a lot of money for just that. NCAA tournament in full swing. 16 games in the books. We got a couple going on right now as well. Top seeds Houston and Auburn won easily yesterday. Tennessee, relatively close, I guess. It was a single-digit game at the half. They pulled away. As same with St. John's. That was a five-point game at the half. They ended up winning by 30.
They ran away in the second half.
Wisconsin, Texas Tech. So all the top four seeds, Purdue, A&M, top four seeds that played yesterday all won. Biggest upset as it relates to the seeding would be McNeese over Clemson. 69-67. Michigan held off a tough second half from UC San Diego, so Michigan advanced. BYU is on Drake on an 11 seed over Missouri. Arkansas and Coach Calipari defeated Bill Self in Kansas. What else? UCLA over Utah State. Creighton beat Louisville, and Gonzaga blew out Georgia. But one thing that I'm excited about is round two. Rick Pitino versus John Calipari.
In Providence.
Awesome. That's pretty amazing.
Pretty good.
Anything else jump out to you, day one?
So I'm already scared about my Duke pick because ACC, they've had a terrible start to this tournament.
Yeah, Clemson bounced.
Clemson, they were getting smoked. I mean, they came back and made that interesting.
They did.
But they were getting smoked. Louisville got smoked. Those are the next two best teams in the ACC. And so if those teams are getting rocked, I know Duke's better than them, but I'm a little afraid of my Duke pick already.
Cooper Flagg's supposed to play today.
Yeah, he should. Not that they need him against the 16 seed.
No.
But he should play. I'm a little afraid of that pick already. And then I would expect more ups. You said no four seeds lost yesterday.
Top four all won.
Doesn't that mean we're kind of due for a crazy day today?
Yeah, I would say so.
I would think that's what that means.
So far we have Baylor, the 9 seed, leads number 8, Mississippi State, 39-34, early second half. Yep. 2 seed Alabama.
I can tell there's a lot of people that are on that guy. Nick is like fist pumping at certain plays back there. I see Jacob out of the corner. I see like random fist pumps. I'm not even sure what side of the bet they're on, but I see like random fist
Hard
pumps.
To say.
Here.
Yeah. On Baylor. I'm on Mississippi
State. Oh my. Okay.
Grudge match.
The air ball that might happen right now didn't help much.
No.
This could possibly be your upset. It is at the half, 2-seed Bama up only 4 on Robert Morris.
Yikes.
So they're playing close. And then Iowa State and Lipscomb are underway. Rest of the action later.
You say Lipscomb?
Lipscomb.
call my guy Dale.
North Carolina, Ole Miss. That's one. I'm big on North Carolina this tournament. I think they're going to be good. UConn, they play at 9:25 tonight against Oklahoma. And Bryant in action against Michigan State late game tonight.
Local squad?
Yeah, so I'm throwing them out there. Give them a little bit of love there. Nothing wrong with that. Yikes, spikes. The Bruins opened up a road trip last night. Didn't go great for the Bees.
No.
They lost to the Vegas Golden Knights by a score of 5-1. It's now 4 straight losses for the Bruins. So that shot in the arm after trading half the team has disappeared.
All right, look, here's
They've been getting slammed in these games, too.
Here's why. People are like, oh, don't you feel stupid for asking the question, are they better off without Marchand? No, I think we timed that out perfectly. That's why you ask it right away.
You don't want to wait.
You get that out of the way.
They're getting absolutely
trucked.
Turns
out they play no differently without Brad Marchand.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. Guess what? They're going to miss the playoffs with him or without him.
All right, so we were wrong about that one. Big deal. Oh, don't you feel stupid? No, I think we got in there right when we needed to. Scott McLaughlin, I'm trying to find his tweet right now, had an incredible tweet about the Bruins last night. It's something like they had 3 consecutive games under 20. Here you go.
They're not putting the puck on the net enough.
Bruins were held under 20 shots on goal for the 3rd straight game. It's the first time they've done that since. Any guesses, Keith?
90. No, they were good then. 04.
It's the first time since the NHL officially started recording shots in 59-60.
Great.
They've never done
just
that.
Just missed.
They've never done that in recorded history.
No, they've been kind of.
That's what the Bruins have done.
They've cooled off.
Oof.
They got the Sharks tomorrow. 10:30 puck drop.
Good uniform matchup.
Yep. Yeah.
Grab bag.
I do like that show.
Yeah.
The Gibbler was always just a real pain.
Celtics Jazz tonight?
Yeah,
speaking of uniform matchups.
I was just going to say another good uniform matchup.
Grab bag!
Dan Freakin is a billionaire.
It's the freaking weekend.
It is the freaking weekend.
Yeah.
And he's a billionaire, Jones.
Okay.
And I think he was one of the guys involved in the possible Celtics sale. Didn't get him.
Was he?
Yeah.
Wait, actually?
I think so. I read this somewhere. Here's the thing.
I can't tell if he's kidding or not.
Here's really why we're talking about him.
Okay.
He wants to bring an NHL team to Houston.
Oh.
You want to give him that team?
Where would he be? Which team would that be? An expansion
Houston.
Team?
Yeah, new team.
No, but I'm saying he's not moving a team. It'd be
No, I think he
team.
Just wants to bring a team to Houston.
Sure.
A new team. They don't need more teams, though. They already got enough teams. They got more teams than baseball and basketball now.
Right. You got to move.
How many teams can you have?
So Houston can have a team, but you got to move a team.
Who are you taking?
Who would
you,
I move?
Who are you stealing?
Hmm.
Who doesn't deserve their team? You're not Utah just got one. You're not taking Winnipeg back.
you can't take Winnipeg back. That's
you're not doing that.
Ottawa?
Florida?
Ottawa.
Ottawa.
Yeah, I think I'd move them.
Yeah.
You're out.
You can grab my back. Grab my back. My back. You can grab my back.
I think that would be a 1-seed, I think.
Paul Skeens. 1-of-1 rookie card sold for $1.1 million.
It was like a snippet of like a game-worn jersey or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't pay that. But
Bill Chisholm,
but good
the
for
one
them.
Who bought it.
Good for them, whoever got it. Nice.
It was Bill Chisholm.
When it's around 1:30 and the takes continue to stay hot, the Jones and Keith grab bag's a really cool spot. There's no other place to hear the grab bag. The Jones and Keith grab bag. The Jones and Keith grab bag. The Jones and Keith grab bag. You're happy now, Jones.
I am, yes.
Alexander Ovechkin up to goal number 888. He is seven shy of the shy of the Wayne Gretzky record for most goals in a career.
I'm kicking myself. One of the apps last night, Keith, had an 88% boost on the grade eight scoring. Yeah, and I didn't do it.
You didn't take him up on that?
Should have done it.
Do you think he does it against the Bruins? I think they come to the Garden like April 1st.
Oh, that would be cool.
I'm going to keep my eyes out for any, but I should have done it. I didn't do it. I'm still kicking myself today.
You're right. April Fool's Day, 7 o'clock puck drop.
April Fool's Day is a holiday we
cannot celebrate.
We don't love it.
Yeah, no, we took it away.
It's not allowed on the radio.
Yeah, no, yeah. Don't need nothing
but a grab bag. How can I resist? Ain't looking for nothing but a grab bag.
The weekend box office, hoping to do better than last week where nobody went to the theater. We have a couple of new movies, including the live-action Snow White.
Oh.
In on that?
No, it doesn't sound like it's been doing well, right?
No.
I mean, reviewed poorly.
And The Alto Knights, the latest Robert De Niro vehicle where he plays two roles.
Oh.
Yeah.
A lot of movies with the same actor playing two roles lately.
Oh, it's like crazy right now.
Like the Travis Hunter of actors.
Yes. So right now on Roddy T's, 159 critic scores.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, keep going, but yeah.
Snow White is rocking a 45%. Not great. Now, The Alto Knights has had, 66 reviews, so not a ton.
Mm-hmm.
39%.
Oh, boy. While you're on there, you hear Wick this morning talk about Celtic Cities, the Rotten Tomatoes review?
Rotten Tomatoes for TV is useless.
Okay. He said he claimed it has 100.
It does.
It does. Celtic City?
Yeah, it might be like one guy. Seven.
Only seven.
Seven.
Got
seven!
It. Is it 100? And honestly, is it 100, though? It is?
Yeah.
Okay, I was curious if that claim was correct or not.
Roddy T's is a...
Wick, Bill, what's the guy's name?
Yeah, right. So Roddy Tomatoes...
Pags would actually. Pags is actually going to vote against it, though.
I don't think I'd promote that because Rotten Tomatoes is yes or no,
mm-hmm.
right? That's all it is. Mm-hmm. So, did you like something? Yes or no? And then, so seven people reviewed it that are technically critics, and they all just said yes. Doesn't mean it's great. That could be like a 6 out of 10, that's what your scale is.
Also, how do you rate it? You're rating the whole series?
So a lot of times with TV shows, they get they might have seen one episode and said yes. So a lot of TV shows actually rank high 90s. Like it's not uncommon for a TV show to have that high of a rating.
Interesting.
For movies, it's much more less common. It's flawed. Plus, Bill Simmons works for The Ringer. I'm sure there's a bunch of Ringer quote unquote critic experts that could just go on there and throw it a vote. So it means very little.
Huh.
Grab bag.
All right, is Aaron Rodgers still a free agent? Yes.
He's visiting Pittsburgh today, though. He's at the facility.
Grab bag.
Top NBA performers from last night. We have Nikola Vucevic, 24 points, 14 boards, and 8 assists. Benedict Mathurin, 28 points, 16 boards. Kevin Huerter, 25 points, 5 boards, 7 assists. Kobe White went for 35 points and 5 assists. And Malik Monk, 34 points, 5 dimes.
I'm pretty sure the Bulls won. Put me down for Kobe White. It's a nice line.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
Back by popular demand, it is Random College Basketball Player of the Day with our host, Nick LaPan. Nick.
All right. In honor of a game that just tipped off not too long ago, we have an Iowa State Cyclone.
Marcus Fizer.
No.
Jamal Tinsley.
He got it.
There aren't too many of those.
Fred Hoiberg.
I looked it up. There's 40 NBA players from alumni from Iowa State.
George Niang.
Oh, good one.
George
Niang.
That's
a really good one.
Hoiberg, the mayor.
Yep.
Good nickname, too, if you're doing nicknames.
Great nickname. If you were theoretically going to do a nickname bracket, that would be a good one to get in there, yeah.
Melvin Edgem was a really careful. He had a tough name to say, but he was really good.
Edgem?
He had a good... I know.
I know that.
Is that the guy on Baylor right now who just missed the dunk?
That's Vijay, is it Edgecombe?
Edgecombe.
He's like a lottery pick.
Was he number 15, the one throwing elbows down low all game?
No, maybe. I thought he was 7. I could be wrong.
Maybe.
But anyway, I'm very, very unimpressed.
Iowa State also had, was it Royce White? Was he an Iowa State
great
guy?
One.
Who I liked a lot.
Oh, man, you were a big Royce White guy.
I loved Royce White.
Yeah.
He wouldn't fly in planes, and that was a concern for road games.
That would be in the...
That'd be way worse now.
Yeah, in the NBA.
Tough. Yeah, yeah, you can't.
Actually, he's like, I tried to tell you guys.
Guys, I can't play.
Yeah.
We have a West Coast trip. I'll leave now.
He's got like the Madden cruiser.
Yeah, he might.
Driving the games.
So that wasn't great. No, but they've had a few good runs in the tournament.
I'll leave now.
So we have a game tonight.
Yeah,
I know, but
yeah.
You want me for that back-to-back in L.A.? I better get going.
I'll meet you guys in Utah. I got games in 5 days. Yeah, I'll see you there.
That's it.
All right. Random basketball play. Okay, good.
Good
nice.
One.
Good work.
A lot of fun.
You don't think?
I love it. People don't like it at all. I think it's good.
There's one person who texts you pretty much every day who dislikes very much.
Hates it.
Yeah.
Remember how good Marcus Fizer was?
Are you still getting those texts, or was that just because the
point.
First two were extremely
It might have been just the first couple.
The first one I think threw people. I think everybody just really likes the random baseball player. Mm. I don't think it has anything to do with it being college basketball. It's just not baseball.
We got a text earlier. It might have been from Dice. If we were going to do random mediocre quarterback, we already used Jeff Garcia.
Can't do Jeff Garcia today.
He's out. Yeah, good point.
John Kitna.
John Kitna's a good one.
Good one. Fun one.
Mm. Steve Berline.
You want to stick with Iowa State, you go Brock Purdy.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah, he's a little better than average.
Brad Banks went to Iowa.
No.
Brad Banks, yeah. What do you mean?
Is that
Am I wrong? This is like a Heisman candidate.
Yeah. Is that his name? Brad Smith.
No, Brad Banks. Come on.
Okay.
Yikes.
All right, you got me there.
Yeah.
It's almost the weekend.
Guy was a stud. He won the Davey O'Brien in 2002.
All right.
Yeah. I'll stand down.
I'll bend the knee. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line for WEEI afternoon.
You got a 13 on the Wonderlic at the combine. Didn't help.
Honestly, I'm much more impressed with that number than I used to be.
That's true.
WEEI afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock. You got Hart. You got Fitzy, and you got the clip du jour. It's next.
All right, back here on Jones and Keith WEEI. It's time for our clip du jour. Jones, you ready for that?
Sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, it was a pretty important discussion that we had. It almost ripped the show apart.
This was quite a debate, yeah.
Is catcher an infield position? Let's hear it. So it'll be Casas, Campbell, Meyer, Bregman, say Connor Wong. They're going to start the year with Trevor Story at short.
You kind of catcher as an infielder?
Is it not an infielder?
No, he's a catcher.
An infielder?
No, an IF? A catcher's not part of your infield.
He's not part of the outfield.
Right, he's his own thing. I agree.
He's an infielder.
He's part of the battery.
He's
the
not
pitcher and the catcher.
Pitcher's an infielder.
No, he isn't.
When they go around the horn, the catcher catches the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not an infielder.
And then let's take a look at the infield.
Not involved in around the horn.
Say it again.
Well, he throws it down.
He starts it.
Yeah, he starts it.
After a strikeout. Yeah, sorry. I thought I meant like a ground out.
Well, no, he's too busy talking to the ump and all that stuff. You're telling me a catcher's not an infielder?
I don't think so.
Nick?
I don't agree with that.
I feel like a catcher is an infielder.
You're going to tell me like Yvonne Rodriguez shouldn't be considered an infielder when he's just...
No, he's a catcher.
He plays in the dirt, though.
So if there's like a bunt...
If
there's a bunt, who gets it? Who fields it?
Sometimes the pitcher.
Center fielder.
Not the center fielder, Bill.
Sometimes
unless it's
baseman.
Cool Papa Bell. He was so fast, he had a line drive up the middle, hit himself in the head, slide into second base. No, I think he's an infielder.
Okay, fine.
Connor Wong.
So Connor Wong. I wasn't including him in
Somebody's
my personal
gonna
list.
Somebody's going to have to break the tie on that because we're split 2-2 on the show.
Billy, wait, no. Is Nick with me?
No, Nick's with me. Billy's with you.
No, he's an infielder.
Billy's with you. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you
yeah.
are?
Yeah,
oh, my
voted.
Bad, Bill.
Yeah, I've been
oh, you got
on
smoked on that.
What a mess.
But then we
that
went
was a
to
a bigger mess than I realized.
The text line was pretty much on your side.
Yeah,
and
the internet was on my side.
And then Billy asked one of the robots there on AI. They also said not an infielder.
Hart, what do you think?
He's not an infielder.
Thank you.
Let's look at it literally. He's not in the field of play. He's outside the field of play.
Gotcha, there.
The infield would be where the infielders
play. Now a pitcher would then
be I was just going to say the same thing. By that logic, a pitcher is an infielder?
I think you can include him as an infielder.
He's in the field of play.
Come on.
No, he plays.
I thought you were on my side. All
about
the whole thing. No.
3 seconds of the game outside the field of play.
Oh.
Yeah, but he can still
he's
catch
behind
stuff.
Home plate. The lines go like this through home plate.
The dugout.
No, he's not in the field of play, between the white lines, as they say.
So fair territory.
Fair territory.
Everything else is the field of play.
Well, not always.
Mm.
I mean,
but he's not an
he's
infielder.
In charge of one of the bases.
If a coach says, listen, we got
first
infield,
base, second
outfield,
base, third base, fourth base.
He's hitting fungos to the infielders, especially if you're a coach like me who can't hit the old straight pop-up.
You just throw it.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a good point by Dark and Stormy Nights in the Twitch chat. Where were you during the great catcher debate of 2025? It's a good question. It's a remember where
people
you were
People pretty
moment.
Dug in on this.
It's true. Right.
I feel like, it probably says something like psychiatrists, psychologists can like delve into your mind. What
it's
says
a real
about
Yanni
you.
Laurel situation.
Yeah.
What are you hearing? Where's the catcher?
Kind of alarms me that
blue
I'm
dress, gold
with
dress.
Jones. Not gonna lie. To
yeah, that's
well,
not
I,
great.
Well, I didn't. I really don't appreciate the logic that you used to align with me. That I.
What do you mean?
It was very faulty. I got a pitcher's an infielder.
Pitcher. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God.
Where's the infield?
Is he in the infield?
Ask any coach. Pitcher's not a fielder.
Yeah.
It's true. Wow. Yeah. Don't even get it. Just don't even try to get the pop up.
No.
Unless you're Mark Burley. Get out of there.
Or Ohtani and the greatest athlete on the planet.
Good point.
That's
so at least too. Now we have another question for Bradford, Merlone, Fleming, our baseball guys.
Yeah.
First question right off the shoot. Catcher and infielder?
Bradford, what's going on?
What do you think catchers would say?
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Because Lou, obviously, he's an infielder.
Well, let's get Connor Wong on.
Alex Cora. I could ask him next week.
Yes, please
infielder.
Do.
Yeah,
please
no, do. Oh, yeah. Get Cora's answer.
Cora's first one
on
right out the gates.
Right
nothing about Devers, the closer, the team, anything.
Mm.
Skip. I'll start with Skip.
Hey, Skip.
As Arkan did our first time interviewing him.
Don't do that.
What do you think about
a catcher and infielder?
How do you feel about that?
He'd be the only infielder that wears equipment.
Besides this tremendous topic.
What's your John Olerud?
What's coming up on the program today? What do you got today?
So we'll be reacting a little bit more, obviously, to the Celtics sale, the Wick Grosbeck comments this morning that were eye-opening, I guess. I don't want to say alarming, necessarily, but he was... Every single answer had something in it, including pot shots at the Clippers arena, how it's so overrated, basically. That's fine. It's fine. I've been there. It's fine. Nothing special. And everybody else raves about it. Like it's the next big thing. Like it's Dallas or whatever
right,
in football.
Right.
And he's like, it's fine. It's an arena. 3:30, Mike Giardi. We'll talk to him about free agency, mock drafts, Stephon Diggs, how the Patriots sold their soul after only a month of culture to Stephon Diggs' visit. 4:30.
Wild.
We're going to be talking, I believe, with Lou Merlone for our weekly Friday afternoon Red Sox chatter.
Oh, we're good.
And we have our expanded odds and ends, which is nothing like a grab bag.
No, it's very
odds
different.
Odds and ends.
Yep. Okay.
So we'll have a lot of energetic spring Friday talk. Fitzy, myself, Ted's right. off today, so you'll get a little bit of the old Fitzy and Hart dynamic from the weekends and
very
the post
good.
Game. So
very good.
We got all that and more. 2 to 6 here on WEEI.
Okay. WEEI Afternoons crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The prime rib dinner is back at the 9. 16 ounces USDA Choice Prime Ribs served with your choice of two sides. It's available every Friday after 4 p.m. and all day Saturday and Sunday. You gotta love the Nines.
And if they want to hang around, maybe we'll take calls on whether the catcher is an infielder.
Oh,
we see you, Montez Vigan.
That is important.
That's very important. Front of the line there as well. All right, everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the college hoops. We're back on Monday with a mock draft Monday at 10 here on WEEI.